Well, welcome everybody to another week's The Hour of Truth. I have Brad Capshaw here and Phil Malfall.
Hey, y'all. Good morning.
Yeah, there you go. The Peanut Gallery. Thank you for joining us. I'll be back in just a second. We are on the air.
That's my helicopter sound.
Clink, clink, crackle, crackle. Well, we have, as I'm sitting there listening to Steve, you know, the world's wisdom, the world wants to be justified. The country's system is hung up in the wisdom of men in a way that all of the laws and all of the structure, the advice structure, the counsel, where, you know, we're in family counseling. I've never seen family counseling that wasn't about justifying people in their rebellion to doing the right thing.
I can't help it.
Yeah, not my fault. You know, my mother beat up my father, and consequently, he beat up my dog, and I'm just, I just want to do my own thing. And there's always, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. And we end up with a public school system. And, you know, this is a good enough reason to not be in the public school system. But when you have a court saying that, well, they have a First Amendment right to have whatever they want on their T-shirt as long as it doesn't say anything about Jesus, you know, they don't have a First Amendment right to do anything. They're kids. I didn't give them a First Amendment right in my household, and when I give them to you to educate, I didn't give them a First Amendment right there neither. So, but they feel good about themselves. Yeah, but they're dumb as a box of rocks. So how good they feel about that is immaterial. Anyway, I digress. We as a church don't need to be ministering to that everything is all right as long as you feel good about yourself thing. That's
well, no, a lot of times when things are going right spiritually, you don't feel good about yourself because it's light shining in your own personal darkness.
Right. So I remove the old headphones.
That's why I said Thursday night. Sometimes Steve really annoys me, but I like talking to him. Get that light, man.
And, you know,
well, you know, the good point you said on that is, remember the congregation of Israel, God went with them, and he said, you know what, this is too much. Moses, you talk to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Moses, you talk to them. That's too much. That's that light shining on that darkness.
Yeah.
And the closer you get to God, you're not going to feel very good about yourself because...
Yeah, who was that prophet we were talking about Thursday night that said, I am just like my fathers? Is that Elijah?
Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah, he came face to face with the Lord and it absolutely broke him.
And he needed that.
He needed that. It's like we need that.
Amen. And what I mean by it's you don't feel good about yourself in your flesh doesn't mean you can't have joy. Don't get me wrong. Because your joy is in the Lord and what He has done and saved you from that wretched man. But as you move along and as you get purged of the unbelief and the crap that comes up, don't feel too good. That's that light shining in darkness. You can get rid of that. Get shed of that stuff, man.
Yeah, that's why Apostle Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The flesh is just not redeemable.
Well,
and you know, I mean, that's you know, and as Steve was talking about the salt, and I've mentioned the salt today, being that salt holds back corruption and telling the truth, the corruption's not going to like it, but it will bring life.
And when you're the one bringing that light to somebody, they don't like it, and it's uncomfortable. When I do it, it's uncomfortable to me, and I know from talking to y'all, it's uncomfortable for everybody. But that's what we're called to do.
But being salt, you know, a salt that doesn't irritate and doesn't make people, hold people accountable for what amounts to rebellion and iniquity that they have, that is seeking to be justified. That a salt that does not make them uncomfortable in that is a salt that has lost his savor. Everybody says it's has lost his savor.
Yes. Very good. Thanks for pointing that out. Yes.
It is his savor. It is.
And I think I said that, so I'm glad you're mentioning that now to the people that are still online, because I believe I said that.
It is, you know, you got salt. The question is it an irritant to those in rebellion? Is it an irritant to those who want to do their own thing? Is it bring accountability to people who want to feel good about themselves? You know, if we as a church have saltiness and it has his savor, then there are going to be some things about us that identify us in our continuity and in our message. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
What's a reference on that, please?
1 Corinthians 1:10.
1 Corinthians 1:10.
So,
so you're trying to be my blood-sucking cult leader? I mean, that's where most people would look at this. I mean, you're talking about you and me are going to speak the same thing. We're going to say the same thing. We're going to think the same way. Sounds like you're trying to brainwash me there, bro.
I've seen your brain.
Which takes us back to what the angel said to Joseph. You're going to call this child's name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And, you know, you were talking about Christ as Lord early on in your message today, Phil. Look, the thing that was messing us up is our own sin, man. That we don't do this thing right. We just don't. We don't see. We don't know. We don't have the capacity to even judge right from wrong. And His Word is a light unto our feet. And His ministers are for our good. It's a better path. But is that, would that be an applicable application of what Jesus said? People don't prefer the new wine. They think the old wine is better. Maybe Christianity is a bit of an acquired taste. You almost have to get in it and see it bear fruit. For myself, I see the good come from doing things occasionally that I'll follow through on something I don't quite understand, because I'll understand that from the Word, and then I almost have to wait until I see it begin to bear good fruit. And then I'm lifted up.
Well, the only thing I remember Jesus saying about the wine was that the wineskin thing.
Yeah, you don't put new wine in an old bottle. It bursts the bottle, and then you lose everything.
Right.
But in with that, he said, men don't prefer the new wine. They say the old is better. I ain't trying to hammer you.
You're going to have to give me a reference on that. I don't remember.
New Testament.
Thank you. Forget it, Dan.
I didn't know if you were going to look that up.
I don't remember Jesus saying that. I remember the people at the wedding going, what'd you do, save the good wine for last? That's not the way it goes. You give the good stuff up front, get people drunk, and then you give them the crap.
Yeah.
That's what I got. But that wasn't Jesus. That was the people at the wedding feast.
But were you referring to that, or are you referring about putting old new wine in the old bottles?
Yeah, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. It'll break the wineskin.
But he said bottles, I believe.
Yeah, bottles, wineskins.
Well, one of them says wineskins, the other one says bottles.
Oh, does it? Okay. So, but I think that's two different points on Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think maybe I pulled you off point, Paul.
Yeah, my point is that when we have salt and we bring light, the light of the gospel, to people out there who are suffering really many in many ways, just the consequences of their choices. We are not called to make them comfortable in their choices. We're called to bring the light and rub some more salt in that wound.
That so that they can receive the gospel and see they need the
gospel.
And that's where the standpoint of what he was talking about is holding people accountable. It shows that you need the gospel. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that what he was talking about, that high self-esteem makes it about you and you're good and you're great and you don't need the gospel. And it counter-affects the gospel of peace.
That's right.
And, you know, and there's a choice. You know, we go out and preach the gospel and being that salt. There's a couple of stories that come to my mind. One was the one with Megan and her neighbor kept saying, you know, look, have you lifted that up to the Lord? Have you lifted that up to the Lord? To the point where she ended up fleeing. Now, the point was there for her was to be reconciled.
Right.
You know? And then, you know, I had a guy at work was saying, you know, I said, you know, this bipolar stuff, he couldn't come and freaking out and all this. I said, you know, you can be free from that. And that medicine is not the answer. You know, I said, you can be free from that. And that's the gospel. He ended up just leaving.
Yeah, he didn't want to hear it.
He ended up just leaving. And so it's a choice of what they're going to do, but be there. The point of it is to bring the gospel of peace.
Yeah, and the end of it, if this fellow receives it, and he may not for a while, and you may never see it, but if he does receive it, that will be the freedom you're trying to bring. But, you know, part of what I was jumping off on there was that I know it was uncomfortable for you. I know you got a deep affection for this fellow, and you're bringing in the best, but you see the discomfort in the man. And part of you, I'm sure, wants to reach out in some other way, but that would not be right. That wouldn't be in his benefit. It's just kind of, that's that. I love what Scotty was saying last week, you know, about a manly willingness to fight. And Steve was hitting it today. We're called to be soldiers in the army of Christ. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians 1:10, where you were, Paul, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. They call infantry infantry because they're supposed to have like an infant's trust in its mother. The officer says, go, and you go. There's not to be a question. To be effective in combat, that's what's required.
Well, I didn't know why they called it an infantry.
That's right.
That's pretty freaking neat. They never knew that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, so much of what in traditional churchdom, if you will, is considered ministering to those in need. There are times when, if you're not doing that informed by the Spirit of God, if you're not doing that in prayer, you can walk into somebody's condition and life that where they're actually being, somebody has held their feet to the fire and they're being held to account, and you minister in their need and take away all the consequences that are supposed to be bringing them to the light.
And
you take and wash that salt off them and make them feel comfortable again. And it
keeps them further away from the Lord and receiving the gospel.
That's not speaking the same thing, being perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment.
It brings me to that. Right. And that brings me to that scripture. You know, I mean, you take, and this was brought up, I think Brad brought up one time. You remember with the guy, the prodigal son? And, you know, he went and spent all his living.
Right.
And he partied and rioted and ended up,
it's one of my favorite phrases. He wasted his substance.
Been there many times. But he, you know, got to the corn and eaten the husks of what the pigs would eat. and said, "Man, my father's servants have it better than this. I'm going to need to go back to him." What if that? What if somebody came by and just said, "Oh, look, I got here's you a cottage, and here's you this, and here's you that." That could have been the thing that kept him from going back to his father.
That's right.
That's where he needed to be reconciled to.
Absolutely.
And that's having, you need the mind of Christ as you enter into these things.
Just because you hook up to a counseling a system of family counselors or, you know, what do you call it? You got grief counselors now in schools. And it just, you know, I want to be in control of the council. Mm-hmm. I want the council to be speaking my mind. If you're going to be doing it in my agency, then I want you to be informed with the same mind of Christ that I have. And if you're not going to do that, just let me handle it.
Yeah.
Let me handle it. And these people who are acting in our stead,
right,
need to stop doing us favors, because they're making people feel good in their rebellion and their sin, and they're seeking for justification, and that's what they're ministering. They're not ministering light and rubbing salt into situations that bring them to account and have to deal with Jesus.
And you know, because I've been through counseling, you know, I've been through it. It just opened up, made things worse than what they were.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Well, you're like this because of this and that and that. Well, you know, I never even really thought about all that before, but now that you mention it, oh, that's what's wrong? You know, I thought
clearly,
I was just...
clearly, this is your parents' fault.
You know, dumb shit, you know? I mean, excuse my French.
That's all right. Nobody's listening.
All right, good.
I didn't.
I really... Oh, man.
I didn't hear it. Well,
but...
I didn't hit dump button. Didn't hit the dump button fast enough.
Instead of...
Bleep.
Of, you're in this situation because there's choices that you have made. And the way is out is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the only way out. Other than that, you're going to be stuck in this flesh doing the same thing, getting yourself in worse and bigger messes.
That's it.
I mean, it's that simple. But no, we need hired PhDs, psychologists to make worse of a mess than what it is.
Who had Phil in 20 minutes into the show? That's all I had.
Two of my last preachers were repo men, you know, by trade. Now, I think maybe there's a reason for that. You know, a repo man goes to get a car out of the hood. You talk to Davey about this. He's probably going armed, and he's ready to roll, man.
Well, counsel being sought today is the counsel of a fool.
Solomon said, "Wage war in the multitude of counsel." So, counsel itself is a good thing, but only if you're in this 1 Corinthians 1:10 verse, where you're getting the mind of Christ.
And it is this deals a little bit with this passage here, with the offense. As we go through the next verse, "was been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided?"
So somebody in Chloe's house ratted them out to Paul.
Um, It's been clear to me of you, my brethren, and the preacher of the house, glory to the earth. Content you. Somebody in Chloe's house, yeah, mm-hmm. ratted them out.
It's been declared to me by somebody in Chloe's house, and they're probably going, who is that doggone rat over there at Chloe's house?
That's one of their home churches.
Yeah. So what if I come to you and I say, you know what? My brother over there, he's out doing this, that, and the other. And then my brother, he's going to find out I told you. Because this is like a small town over here. He may not like me for a while, but I'm still going to do it. Not because I'm into ratting people out, but because we're called to look out for each other.
But they're talking, the contentions he's talking about here is I'm somebody special because Steve baptized me. Or, you only had Steve do it to you. I had Davey baptize me. So what? You got wet.
Doesn't it matter? You're baptized in the body of Christ.
Christ, absolutely.
Who does it?
Yeah.
They're just that arm in that instance.
So we kind of jumped ahead of this. Now, this I say, every one of you saith, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other.
That's an interesting statement on the end of 18. And besides, I know not whether I baptized any other.
In other words, it's just not that important.
Yeah, yeah.
just not that important.
Want to get the Lord's word?
Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. I'm not baptizing you in the name of Paul. That's just not what's happening here. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. This power is not in my words. The power is in the power of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's what we were just talking about here. All this stuff, the counsel, the wise counsel of God is foolishness to men who are perishing. They would rather their own wisdom and their own choices, I am qualified to be Lord of my own life. That's comes right down to.
That's right.
And on the other end of that, it's by their own works they want to be justified.
Right.
They don't. The simplicity of the gospel. They won't accept. It's foolishness to them.
Well, it's an affront.
But unto us which are saved, it's power. The power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Again, that's foolishness. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's where we are today. And the wisdom of man says, if you trust in us, we're the government, we will remove all the bad consequences from your choices. And we, as a people, say, fine, take it all. It's all yours. You just continue to keep taking away the consequences of my bad choices. And then I can feel all clean. I don't have that salt building up on those scratches that I'm coming home with. And I'll be comfortable in my rebellion and my spiral down to the pit of hell. They cannot be any mixing. The fundamental error in the mixing of church and state is the state is ministering, especially today, to take away your consequences. And the church is trying to hold, should be trying to hold people accountable.
That's right.
To how far short they fall in self-justification before a holy God. You just can't do it.
Absolutely. And that's...
How long, you simple ones, where you love simplicity? And that's how long will you be stupid? You're dumb as a box of rocks. How long are you going to be a dumb box of rocks? Hating, actually... Delighting and scorning and hating knowledge. Proverbs 1:22. Good. Thank you for that, Linda. It is, as the ages have come down, what started out looking like it had potential has become corrupt in our government. And what started looking like it had potential in the church has become corrupted.
You take that consequence away.
Take a couple of boxes of rocks all around with you.
That's
preaching of the cross.
And that's the counselings that take those consequences away of the wise of the world. It removes them going to God. It removes them going to Christ. It removes them from receiving the gospel.
And the offense of the simplicity is Abraham believed God and is reckoned to him as righteousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the power of God.
What must I do to do the works of God?
Believe on him who has sent.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's where they remove that consequence of God. So you have them in the counseling sessions for the rest of their life. Because it's mess on top, piled upon mess.
Give them some drugs to make them feel better.
They're right.
Themselves.
And they try to fix it with drugs and all kinds of things. And it's the power of the gospel that cleanses.
Right.
And creates new life. To not live in the bondage thereof.
And if you look at yourself and realize, hey, you know, I'm not doing things right. You hit Proverbs. Chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to him that walketh uprightly. And in this vein down through the chapter. So if you look at yourself and you realize, you know what? I have not handled my life with wisdom. I am indeed standing in a mess I made. You don't have to stay there. If you're this is the word of God. It says if you'll seek this wisdom, you'll find it. He'll give it to you.
Yeah. What does the word say? He who cries out and comes after me, I will in no wise
cast out.
Yep. Jesus said that, right? Sign. Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Stuff that you can quantify, weigh and measures. Justifies them.
Yeah, but we know that even if you see, and there are examples in the near past of people that have seen blind eyes open and all manner of miraculous things happen, and even people that are healed don't believe. They don't stick with it. you can expound the scriptures to people they don't believe, not for any length of time.
Yeah.
Seeing is not believing.
But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The stumbling block and a rock of offense. Well, it's simple. And it's not about me.
Or what I'm doing.
Or what I'm doing is about him.
And what he has done.
And what he has done. And that's...
fulfilling the law.
It's not about acquiring knowledge. Although that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I would rather have perfect knowledge. Be a partaker of God's perfect knowledge. Than the wisdom of man.
Yeah.
But unto them which are called, did I finish 23? Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. It's not about being the best informed person out there, best informed person. There's some really well informed people out there that just, when it comes to the Lord, they're dumb as a box of rocks. They have no knowledge. Their counsel isn't wise. They're not speaking the same mind as the church fathers, Paul and John and James and whoever else. Not saying the same thing Jesus said. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And that goes back to, but we preach Christ crucified. Who unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And that really comes right down to Jesus telling in John that, no man, the Father, what I have, the Father gave me, and no man take it from me. He said, and when I lay down my life, it isn't being taken from me.
I lay it down.
And I have the power to take it up again. And that's foolishness, man. That just doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? Because you need it. That's a good enough reason.
Absolutely.
And that's just doesn't make sense to man. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is, I'm going to send my son to the cross, and he's going to die.
Yeah.
And it's going to look like all is lost. And my people, they're going to say, I don't know what's going on here, I'm going fishing. And then the Lord meets them right there. On the water.
And he overcame all things through his death.
That's right.
He defeated on the cross to the obedience of death. He defeated.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Why are you looking at me?
That says it all, doesn't it?
Pick up the next verse.
You know,
I like hanging here for a while.
I do too.
I don't. All I see is base. Just. The basis of the creatures. And
amen, brother.
What was it that Grandma seen in me when I was a kid? Angry kid that hated the world. Not a chance at all.
And she didn't give up either, did she?
Nope.
And what do you see around you? If you meet Paul back in the day, people think he's loony as a bat. But the testimony of the Lord meeting people with Paul now. No, that's an awesome thing.
That goes back to the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Yep.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And we see our calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the web. Then there's Steve and Scott. Those that clean up pretty well, but we don't present so well. We just don't. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise who think they're worth it. But the foolish things of the world, God chose to show them that it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their wisdom. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Who was mightier in Babylon?
Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Who was mightier, Nebuchadnezzar or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel? Who was mightier?
Nebuchadnezzar, as far as the world goes.
Right.
As far as the world goes, Nebuchadnezzar. He was king. They were servants. They were brought unto, what, I guess, slavery or servitude unto the king. They were lower than the king by far.
Right.
From another nation. Not even from the same nation.
They were slaves.
Yeah.
And God used these weak young guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to confound the wise and the mighty, which was Nebuchadnezzar and his crew. And they did it humbly and in submission. And they...
Listen, you know, when it came down to brass tacks, it was, look, our God is able to deliver us.
Whether he will or not.
Whether he will or not. And he will deliver us this day, he says. But regardless, not going to bow down. Not going to happen.
This matter is settled, O king. And Nebuchadnezzar came unglued. But you know, from what I've read of that king, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe he may well have made it. He may have died as a saved man.
Yeah, he's the one that was out with the sheep.
He ate grass.
Yeah.
And that's really odd. Wasn't it like 7 years? He's out slobbering at the mouth and eating grass in the fields and all that. And then I think it was 7 years later, he walks back in the palace and goes, "Give me my throne." "Oh, yes, sir." That's a heck of a thing.
But that's a perfect example
of Nebuchadnezzar that wrote that.
The weak
about Meshach, about Daniel.
He wrote that. I didn't know that.
He wrote that.
The perfect
testifying of the Lord God of Israel, Jesus.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I'm trying to figure that out. Found the wise God hath chosen
weak. 128, I think.
Weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. It's confounded him so much he was out there with the sheep, wandering around in the field. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Not some flesh.
No flesh.
No flesh to glory in His presence.
And that's why He said, was it in Titus that you read this morning, Phil? Not by works of righteousness that we have done. When we get there, we're not going to be able to say anything but by Your grace and Your love, Lord. That's it. That's it.
Scott says, Daniel 4. He thinks. Let's see. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's why the simple fundamental truth that the Lord's good. And if I'm going to glory in anything, I'm going to glory in how good He has been and continues to be.
The glory is in Him.
Yeah.
And what He has done, what He has accomplished. Even to your personal life. And that's how you get to know Him.
And that's the hope we hold out. You know, almost any time I start bringing the gospel to somebody, I'll get responses like, well, I go to church. I, you know, whatever they see they're doing as being right, what they do. This is the major hurdle to cross. I mean, Jesus is the rock is stumbling and the stone of offense. It's just, I guess it's just only the divine action of God that can let somebody even see it.
Well, it's really hard to get out of the mindset of, well, you know, it's good that I go to church and it shows that I am
interested
in looking like I acknowledge that God exists. But you don't get there by punching the clock, and you don't get a relationship with God by knowing somebody that has one.
Yeah, no grandchildren in the kingdom of heaven.
You get a relationship with God by realizing you're totally inadequate to do it on your own. There's nothing you bring to impress Him enough to say, boy, He's worthy. Only thing that's worthy is Jesus.
And the need for Him. And the need to know Him.
That's right. And then, you know, Paul is really setting them up to nail them. But verse 1, chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. In other words, it was just me in my weakness and my slowness of speech. But
his speech was contemptible.
Contemptible,
I'm guessing he wasn't much to look at either.
For I determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus and Him crucified. In other words, not about me, it's not about my abundance of schooling, it's not about what the Lord showed me in the seventh heaven and all this, or in the third heaven. It's what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And that's all I need to know.
It's not about what, how great of a speech I can do.
That's right. It's about you being held to account about what you're going to do. Are you going to deal with Jesus? Are you going to believe and let Him make you acceptable? Because that's the only way that comes. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Well, that doesn't sound like a powerful guy bringing a powerful gospel.
I was scared out of my mind.
But he wasn't scared of Rome. We know that.
I've been there. I've been sent on a couple of missions that I was scared out of my mind to be on.
Yeah, but you go.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes you just step out and see if that water will hold you up.
And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, I didn't want you to think how smart I was. I wanted you to see
how good the Lord is.
How good the Lord is. In the power of the truth of the Word. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
That mystery was His plan of coming and being obedient to death for you. You can have peace with God.
The whole gospel plan was planned before.
Right.
The world was set. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah, so that means if Pilate had really understood, if Herod had really understood who Jesus was as a man, they would not have ordered his death.
That's right. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. That's one of those Pauline phrases that's like exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to ask or think. It just is better than you could ever imagine. All you have to do is receive. Believe, receive, and obey. Love God, love one another.
You can get a little twinge of this sometimes. For me, it happens in worship. When the Spirit comes down, or maybe in prayer, and all the stuff around you for a little while, it really, really doesn't matter. There's nothing better. I mean, to think of being able to remain in that state forever. If you've ever had it, you just want more and more.
But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, who do you suppose He's talking about in 10? Who's the us?
Yeah. Apostles, I'm guessing.
That would be mine.
And the apostles, they reveal it to us. So this stuff is knowable. It may not be a direct line like the apostles have, but we can know these things.
One man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And when Jesus reconnects us with that Spirit, then our line is reconnected. We have internet service again.
Yeah, but you're alive.
Back on the net.
Your lives change.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, you go, and I'm looking at this from the view we started off about the wisdom of this world and versus this. The power of the gospel changes lives. The wisdom of this world doesn't do anything.
It justifies you and your
offense. It makes things worse.
What was the name of that show? Celebrity Rehab? That's been working out real well for the people who participate in it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Not so much.
Not so much.
I've been through a little rehab here and there. You know? They'll tell you, oh, you can't help it. They tell you everything like, you know, you're an alcoholic. You'll always be an alcoholic. No, I'm not. You're a drug addict. Are you a drug addict?
Not anymore.
It's just It's just
bleak. That's the difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God.
Yep.
Well, if you tell me that I've got something on me that I'm never going to get rid of, then there's not much hope in that. Jesus said, basically, your problem is you're selfish and you're a sinner. But then he gave me the fix, and it sticks, and it works. I can be content and happy now. Where are you at now?
12?
I don't know. In fact, I was just reading the chat room.
We're in 12.
Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's a pretty important thing. You need to know. You need to know what God's given you.
Amen.
And you get reconnected, you get back on the net, then you can know these things. Even if the only way you find out about them is by listening to somebody else who knows, that's the way the provision works.
Amen.
That's the word is the word, whether he speaks it or Dave speaks it or Steve speaks it, it's still the word.
Yeah, he said the word wouldn't return void. He didn't quantify how it comes to you.
That's why this thing about it was not about Paul and how wise he was and how good his speech was. It was what was he saying? What was the word?
And that's why he chose the base of the world to do such.
That's right. Which things we also speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teach, but in which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You got to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges. Spiritual things compared to spiritual things. Our standard is spiritually informed. It's not carnally deduced. It's not deduced in man's wisdom. It's deduced in the wisdom that cometh from the Father. And we have been made partakers of.
Well, there's a responsibility there too, because was it Hebrews 6? Paul said at such times I should be able to give you meat. I'm having to give you the milk of the word. And even the milk of the word defined in Hebrews 6, you know, is beyond what most people understand. But in order to grow from faith to faith and glory to glory, you have to be able to compare spiritual to spiritual. See, we're not called to remain as we were on day one when we met Christ. It's not that you're more loved by Him as you go forward, but it is that you should understand Him. It's His will.
Clearly. Well, see, Hebrews 6 is it's time we move on. I mean, God, we've received this salvation, and it's time to move on now. It's time to be able to minister. It's time to be ministering this grace and this mercy to other people. And the meat is...
It's time to make them Lord and do you move on.
That's
and
right.
Be the body.
Yeah.
But it's like the talent with the guy with the talent. Digs that talent. Are you going to... Yeah, and put it in a hole? Are you going to... It's time to not do that. It's time to... Go and make more talents.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You know, this is why we suffer judgment from those who are not informed enough to be making judgments, qualified judgments. And what's that to me?
I was talking to a guy at work. He's an engineer. I mean, really what you would think an engineer would be, left brain, right-handed, numbers guy. And we were talking about some stuff, I mean, personal kind of stuff. And I finally said, well, John, the responses I would give you at this point would either be nonsensical to you or very, very offensive. So I think maybe we'll just drop this right here. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you're an atheist, right? He goes, no, I'm not an atheist. He said, I don't know that there's only one way to heaven, but I know there's more than what we can see. I said, wow, I didn't realize you had any kind of spiritual anything about you. And that opened the door. But that's what you're talking about. If I'm going to, it's like when I'm with unbelievers, there's some things I'll talk about, some things it just beyond the gospel and the spirit, there's just not much point to it. They don't have the ground laid to be able to understand.
Yeah, you can't have discernment if you don't know the things of the Spirit of God. You just can't. And this goes back to speaking the same mind. You can't speak all the same mind if you don't know it.
Right. Yeah, but if you go to me and then go to Phil and then go to you, you should get the same response to the same question. One spirit.
One with hope. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Yeah, what is that?
You know, well, and I'll tell you why that is. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Judging, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Okay? And if you're judging with the mind of Christ, that judgment is accurate.
It's
okay, right?
And it has a disposition towards grace and mercy.
Oh, absolutely. It's to bring reconciliation.
It's to and
the,
spread
and
salt.
The gospel. Right. Bring the accountability. They need the gospel. But when but he that is spiritual judges all things. You're judging. That's the mind of Christ. Yet he himself is judged of no man.
The judge.
Because who can you can't?
The Father.
That's the Father's mind. That's Jesus Christ. Yes, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to judge you. That's not what it's saying here. But it doesn't stick because it's God's judgment, not yours. Yeah.
We need to wrap.
It doesn't stick.
So let's do the last. He's spiritual, judges all things, yet he's judged of no man. The judge that he stands or falls before is the Lord.
Right.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
So our judgment's right, because it's his judgment being given to us.
If it's his judgment.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be putting on every day.
Goes back to 110. Which speak the same mind. Have the same judgment. You know what the deal is. Stick to it. Don't go wandering off chasing rabbits. There you go. Well, we have about 1 minute. So I'm going to say, have a great week, y'all.
God bless everybody.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
I hope y'all enjoyed it. We are out of here.